dedicate the cross, which is very special in this house of prayer in the prayer room, and I'm honored to be here tonight to do that. For just a few minutes, I just want to share a couple thoughts, a little bit about the cross, and you have notes. Since I have you guys, I apologize, because now I used to give you guys 5 and 6 pages of notes when I would preach and teach, and now I hone it down and just front and back side now. That's just, I don't know what that is. That's just, I don't know, developing. And everybody's happy about that. Actually, because I limit myself to preaching for 20 minutes on Saturday evenings now. Anyway, so this is the fruit of it tonight. So anyway, before we look at the notes, let me just, two scriptures came to my mind during worship. I want to read about the cross. And you may or may not know them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul the Apostle. Well, backing up to verse 17, let me read it. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are dying. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In Galatians chapter 6, let me turn over there real quick, verse 14, Paul the Apostle wrote this book as well, and he said, but God forbid that I should boast. Wow, does that ever speak to our day? You know what boasting means, right, guys? Not you older folk, you know what boasting is. What's boasting mean? Some young person tell me.
Bragging.
Thank you, young person. It means to brag. It means to be filled with yourself. And Paul says, I don't boast in anything except the cross of Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. So as we look at the cross tonight, just a few moments as we dedicate the cross here, it's a sobering moment. I want us to have... Now, my prayer tonight is that God would give us living understanding of the cross. It's something that we see often. We see it in churches. We see it on artwork. We go to the Christian bookstore. We see it on people's, you know, people buy Bible covers for their Bible. There's crosses. People wear them around their neck. They hang them on their rearview mirror. They're on rings. I used to have a ring with a cross, and I got it because it was very significant to me. I just didn't want to have a ring with a cross, and it's just very significant. My point is, we see them all over, and yet it's the very power of God. This thing of death, it was a terrible instrument of death. And yet it's the very power of God. It's the reason why you and I are sitting here tonight. Wherever you are with your walk with Jesus tonight, wherever you feel you are, and I'm kind of aiming this to you young folks tonight, wherever you feel you are, it's all because of the cross. And you're like, what about the resurrection? Of course, it's about the resurrection. Without that, we don't have newness of life. But without the cross. And so I just want, for a few moments, I want to look at these notes. I may not go through all of them, and then we'll get Amy and Dan back up here, and we're all going to, some of us will participate tonight in this dedication. Hebrews 12, it's on your notes. Follow along with me. I'm going to read these two verses, verses 1 and 2. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some people think it could have been Paul the Apostle, but we're not sure, but... The writer of the Hebrews, to the Hebrews, therefore, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us or holds us back. That's another way of saying that. And he goes on to say, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then in verse 2, he tells us how to run the race of life. Whether we're 51 years old, that's me, or we're 14 or 16 or wherever we are, 15. Looking unto Jesus is how you run the race with endurance. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. With joy, he endured the cross. what we're going to dedicate tonight. He endured the cross. He despised the shame of the cross. Not only back in Jesus' day was the cross just a terrible death to go through, but anybody on a cross, it was shameful. So he felt rejected. He felt the rejection that you and I feel from others. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That means because he went and he embraced the cross and was exalted to the highest place. In verse 3, remember, how do we run the race? Consider him. That means think about him. Consider him who endured, who went through such hostility from sinners against himself. Why does he tell us to do that? Because if you don't consider Jesus in the race of life and the cross that he took for us, you will become weary and you will get discouraged in this life. It's almost like name 10 things, not really right now, but 10 things that would discourage you. And it's almost as if the writer of Hebrews says, what's really going to discourage you is if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus and consider the cross. And so I just want to look at this for a minute. We can never be too extreme in looking at Jesus. You'll never get enough. You can't go over the top. That is something that we'll never be extreme in. Let me just look at this for a minute here. I want to jump down to number 2, and this is a little Bible. You can follow me a little bit if you want to on this, but let me just define a few things that most of us know, or maybe you've never heard, but Jesus, his name means salvation. Christ is not his last name. It's not his last name, Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. He was Savior and Messiah, and that's very important for us as we consider the cross. Paul the Apostle talked about the mystery of God. If you ever read the Bible talks about the mystery of God. Here's the thing about the mysteries of God. They're not unknown. You know, there's a TV show that came out years ago. It was called like Unsolved Mysteries or something like that. I don't even know if it's on TV anymore. God's not an unsolved mystery. He's knowable. And yet, the Bible teaches that the mystery was him becoming a human being, taking on flesh like what you and I have, and going to the cross for us, laying his life down so that we who did not know him could put our faith in him and begin to follow him. That's the mystery of God that even the prophets in the Old Testament didn't fully understand. And I believe even the angels looked at and scratched their head, if angels do that, and they went, this is a mystery. And they're with God all the time. And yet when God put on skin, that was the mystery that the angels were like, he's really doing this? God's really doing this for weak human beings that want nothing to do with him? That's the mystery. God taking on flesh. When Peter was asked by Jesus, who do you say I am? Peter answered the question, and he only understood it as what Jesus could do for him. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And then he goes on to tell Peter, on this rock I will build my church. But Peter said, you are the Christ. But even Peter's idea of who Jesus was, is Peter thought he was going to, Jesus was only there for him and his betterment, in which we do receive so much from the cross, but I'm heading somewhere tonight with this. When Peter said, you are the Christ, he only knew him for what he could do for him. Here's what I mean by that. In that time of day, when Jewish people thought of Messiah, they immediately thought about Messiah from the old prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. They thought of the Messiah as being the one who would come and crush all their enemies right then and right there, because they were constantly being threatened and oppressed by their enemies. And they understood Christ the Messiah to be that person who would rise up for them, be their leader, and crush their enemies. They had no idea that Messiah, Christ, would be the one who would go to the cross and would suffer. They didn't understand that way, that that's who Jesus would be. That's how he would come. And so this is very important. We can, when we look at this and we consider Jesus as Messiah, Messiah means anointed. Messiah would be the one who would crush Satan. In the Garden of Eden, there's a prophetic word in there in Genesis chapter 3. It says that Jesus' heel would be bruised and that he would crush the serpent's head. It speaks of what Jesus would do to Satan to completely destroy his effects upon the human race through the cross. But they didn't understand that their Messiah would have to go to the cross, and that became offensive to them. That Jesus would have to die this way became offensive. But this is how they understood him to be. But Messiah means the one who would crush Satan. However, God's route for him to crush Satan would mean that Jesus himself would be the one who was crushed. In Isaiah 53, it says that it pleased the Father to crush his own son. That's hard to get around. I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus. That plays with our God concept a little bit. Wait, the Father killed his own son? And immediately we think killed, we think murder. God's not a murderer. He doesn't do that. You know, when you read the Old Testament, when you read portions of Scripture where it says that God, these people died, God killed these people, God is not a murderer the way we know killing. We understand killing as murder. God does not have a spirit of murder that he just goes, I'm just going to kill people. He doesn't carry that in his being, in his person, who he is. But in this way, that it pleased him to crush the son, to crush his own son, was because that was the only way that he was going to make a way for you and I. Even as Karen led us tonight, you've made a way for me to enter the holy place. This is interesting because when Jesus stood before Pilate, before his crucifixion, Pilate brought him out there and he goes, what do you want me to do with him? And the crowd was filled with anger. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I think it was because even in the midst of him doing miracles, loving people, healing people, saying he was the Son of Man, the Son of God, when he started to speak of him going to the cross, they could not get their minds around it. And they said, we want nothing to do with him. In other words, they're like, we're offended that he would be our Christ. We're offended that this is who God sent to us to lead us in victory over our enemies. We want nothing to do with a crucified Christ. Because as I read earlier, the cross is foolishness to the world. It makes no sense. And yet God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise. The cross is going to be on display forever. That's why it's significant that we're dedicating it tonight. If all of a sudden tonight we got lifted up before the throne of God and saw Jesus, let's say that happened. Let's say, hey, I want to take you guys up. Let's just have a moment with God, a serious encounter. And if you were to see the man, the God-man Jesus, you would look at him and you would see where the thorn holes are in his brow still. You would see the marks in his hands or his wrist. I believe it's probably his wrist where they put the nails. You would see where the sword went into his side. You'd see the holes in his feet. He's going to have those forever. He's human forever, and he's God forever. And he's coming back to the earth as a human, as God, but in with the glorified body, but he's going to be a human forever. So the point is the cross is still front and center to the Father. And therefore, it needs to be front and center for us in our walk with Jesus. Again, Hebrews, consider Jesus, look at him. So God chose the chosen one to be crucified. And the crowd says, if he can't come down from the cross, then we want nothing to do with him. Now, sometimes that we can be challenged in our own lives like that when we're expecting God to do something for us and it's as if he's not getting down to do anything for us. And we're just discouraged. And sometimes people are like, well, if he can't do it, I'm not going to do anything for him right now. I'm not going to continue in faith. I'm going to make some choices that don't honor him because we think he's not doing things according to the way we want them. And that's probably what they felt that day when they looked at him on the cross. I mean, let's think about it. They were already being ridiculed. They were threatened by their enemies. And here they've got this Messiah who said he is the King of the Jews. And he's healing everybody, but they even told him, you can't even heal yourself. Come down off that cross. And that day, those crowds were yelling and mocking at the most precious thing to the Father. Number three, God displayed himself through a bloody cross. Yes, the resurrection was glorious, probably when he came out of the tomb, and you know, on Easter Sunday we celebrate that, and who knows, you know, glorious white garments or whatever, still had the nail prints in his hands. That's a glorious moment. And he's resurrected forever. But the cross will always be remembered that God displayed himself that way. Blood. I use this quote from an author that I love, Bob Sorge. He said that on that day there was blood on his head, blood on his shoulders, blood on his hands, blood on his feet, blood on his back, blood on his chest, blood on his face, blood on the cross, blood on the ground. I believe that the Father feels most passionate about the cross. If you turn the page two, we know from scriptures that for God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. When you and I look back at the cross, we think, oh, that was over 2,000 years ago. And we're thankful for it. And we remember it. We sing songs about it. But it still was distant for us, even though it's had its work in our lives. And we're grateful. I'm not minimizing that. Because you're like, well, Jim, it really was 2,000 years ago. Correct. But to the Father, perhaps, it's as if it just happened yesterday. That's how real it is to God the Father. The cross is that real to him. It's as if yesterday Jesus was crucified to him. This is what makes the cross and the blood of Jesus so powerful in our life. Always, when we fail in an area, this is what makes it so real to the Father, because we can turn to him. He's like, it's as just like Jesus made that sacrifice for you yesterday. Just turn to me again. Turn. A few weeks ago, I was preaching, and I said, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God gives a human being is the ability to return to him. Mm-hmm. Turning is a beautiful gift. I can't tell you how many times I've had to return to the Lord over the last 25, 32 years of walking with him. Daily, of course. How many times in a day? You don't want to know how many times in a day I've had to return to the Lord. But he says, that's a gift. That's what makes the blood and the cross so powerful. You and I mastering a principle from the Word of God or a truth from the Word of God isn't what makes us powerful. It doesn't even get you near to God. Like, let's say you master a truth on how to do finances well. That doesn't mean you're close to God. What gets you close to God is the blood of Jesus. The nearness of God comes through the cross and the blood of Jesus, not because you figured out how to work a principle out that you heard somebody teach. Like, I apply myself to being a good husband. Almost 28 years. I, of course, want to be a better husband in year 29 than I was last year. But if I master a few more principles to be a better husband or a better father, that doesn't get me more near to God than if I totally failed in understanding those principles. Because it's the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus that gets me near to Him every time. That's the gift of turning. Every time. Otherwise, I'm just concerned on mastering all these principles and truths in the Word. That, you know how many people mastered principles and truths that God believes in and teaches, yet they're far from God because they haven't embraced the cross of Jesus in their life? That's why He says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. In fact, sometimes when we just master truths apart from embracing the cross, it leads to pride and arrogance. Lord's like, I want you to embrace the cross. I want you to disciple people in the message of the cross, embracing the cross. He displayed Jesus through what we call, what seemed to be weakness. In your notes, I put this in bold and I want to make sure I comment on it. It says, if the cross was simply something Jesus did for us, then we don't see why we should embrace it. In other words, Jesus didn't go on the cross so that you and I could get a vision to be personally awesome. Him dying on the cross changed everything about your life, brought you near to Him, which that makes you awesome. But not that we would ever move away from 1 Peter 2:20, I believe, explains it. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness. I read that earlier, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. So we need to have room for a crucified Christ. The Pharisees had no room for a Messiah who would die. They were offended by the cross. They were offended that their Messiah would have to die on the cross. Pontius Pilate was even trying to find a way to clear Jesus. He's like, I don't want to do this. I do not want to put this man to death. King Herod mocked him. Jesus did no miracles in the sight of Herod. Herod brought Jesus before him because Herod wanted Jesus to do miracles. And Jesus didn't do any miracles because they didn't believe He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. And there were miracles happening all the time during that day. It was regular. It wasn't something new when Jesus showed up. There's all kinds of healings and miracles going on. But there was something that Jesus carried that Herod wanted to see. Of course, he wanted to see miracles, and they had no faith. You know, the story of Simon, when Jesus was carrying his cross, as he was, you know, going up to the hill to be crucified, they pulled Simon the Cyrene out of the crowd, and he was there with his kids, you know. And they said, hey, you carry his cross. Simon's kids, I put it in your notes there, their names Alexander and Rufus. They were mentioned in the story because those that would read Mark's gospel would have known who they are, who they were. They could have been leaders in the church in Rome when they got older. And I think that that's one of the reasons. But I think that Mark talks about them being with their dad in that little passage there because they were witnesses of the cross. They were witnesses to the life of Jesus and to their dad taking up the cross of Jesus. That probably had a greater impact on their life than anything else, that their father was pulled out of the crowd and they watched him pick up the cross of Messiah. Who knows, after he got back in the crowd with his kids, they're sitting around the table the next couple days trying to figure out what happened. that he's telling his kids about what it felt like to carry that cross. Who knows? But for some reason, God wanted it to be said that these two witnessed the carrying of the cross, their own father. The last little paragraph there, none of our story will be, thank you for the cross and I got more awesome, as I mentioned earlier. Thank you for the cross that I can embrace it, because that's what you've called me to do. We will continually put our trust in him this way. As a follower of Jesus, our highest vision can be taking up our cross. That's the high vision of a believer. It's not easy. I'm not standing before you as though I live that out every day. If you want to be honest, I find a lot of ways to avoid the cross. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. And that's, I'm not saying we need to. It's not that we should like pain or suffering. But if we really want to experience Jesus at the deepest and highest levels that we were called to, we follow his example. And we take up our cross. And that might look a little different for every one of us. I think we have lots of opportunities to embrace the cross that we miss out on because we think, hey, this isn't that big of a deal. The Lord's like, no, this is a pretty good cross for you to bear right now. It might seem a little on the scale of 1 to 10. Maybe it's a 2. You know, if you measured the weight of your cross, well, it's only like a 2. I really don't want to do that. The Lord's like, no, why don't you just take the 2? Don't take the 10 today. Take the 2 and let me work in you. That's your greatest reward. I heard somebody say years ago, in regard to suffering and pain, pain and suffering only works in the life of somebody that follows Jesus. When we're mistreated, when we're rejected, it only works in the life of somebody who's following Christ because he's already walked that through. We avoid pain and suffering when we're really not connected to Jesus. We fear it. We avoid it. We're not sure if it's going to work for us. It's certainly not the way of the world. We don't value what it means. And yet the Lord places high value upon it. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. So point number 5, I just left it open. Consider Jesus. Make that your goal. Do what Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus. And that's one of the reasons, and Amy and Dan can speak to this tonight. Amy, I'm just going to have you guys come on up and hand it over to you. That's the point of putting the cross in here tonight, one of them, that we would just have an opportunity to look and remember what Jesus has done for us and actually see it. And I'm just going to turn over to you now so we can just keep moving through this. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Jim. That was so good. Thank you, God. I have a scripture that I want to share and kind of talk just for a minute on why putting a cross up and why we're taking kind of a little special moment to dedicate the cross. And the scripture I want to bring out is John chapter 12, verse 32. This is the Lord speaking, and he says, and I, if I lift it up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And I would like to make the point that this isn't just history, but it's a daily thing. And that the way we can encounter Christ and get transformation in our innermost being at the highest level, I believe, is to look at the cross in our spirit. Take time to meditate on, consider, contemplate, think about Jesus and his suffering on the cross. Because when we take time to look at that and think about the blood on his head, on his hands, on his feet, in his side, on his back, his shoulder. We take time to think about that and what he, it was truly a torture that he went through. He was on the cross 6 hours, right? 9 to 3. He was suffocating. He was in deep distress. It was, the Romans had perfected how to torture someone. And he was being tortured. And when we think about that, we're like, Lord, how is it that you would display your greatest love this way? It seems like there's a lot of other ways God could display love, but he chose that way. So the more we can look at Jesus, consider him, lift him up in our mind's eye, we will draw near to him. I will draw, it says, all people to myself if I am lifted up. I believe that's our way to encounter him at some of the highest, most intimate levels. So my thought, my desire around having a cross in this prayer room was for this purpose. This room is dedicated for prayer and worship and looking at Jesus. That's what this room is for. So how awesome to have a cross where we can sit at the foot of that cross, read Bible passages about people who were at the foot of the cross on that day, get there in the spirit, and consider, meditate on, contemplate, think about his mom at the foot of his cross. Just take that to prayer for a while. You know, I couldn't watch my daughter get a mole cut off her face without almost fainting, and I've never fainted before. You know, there's like an emotional connection with your kid. His mom was at the foot of the cross. Let's get around that. That's supernatural that she didn't faint. John, the beloved, at the foot of the cross. You know, just by standing there, they were implicated in it. You know, Peter, by following the Lord to the cross, he was implicated. They're like, you're one of them, aren't you? And he's like, no. No, he was being implicated, trying to follow him. So this room is for this purpose, to contemplate Christ. And the cross, my desire is that this would help us. Because it is 2,000 years ago for us. We're pretty removed from what this was like. Whereas first century Christians saw people crucified. They were crucifying 500 people a day in the Roman Empire during the time of Christ. They were out of wood. They reused crosses. There was no wood to be found for miles and miles. That's how many people they were killing. So, but that's not our day. We don't see that. We don't really think about what that was like. My desire is that as we dedicate this cross, and I just want all of you to pray with me in this, that it would be somehow marked with the presence of God, with angels, with an atmosphere of heaven. I don't know how God does this stuff exactly, but I want people to come in and look at that and have something happen in their spirit, you know, where they're like pierced. That there would be something of heaven on this cross that would pierce them. Something would break in. I was just telling our staff earlier, I used to go pray up at San Damiano, and they have there in the woods the Stations of the Cross. There's 12 stations of the cross, 12 things that Jesus went through as he was going to the cross. And they have these stone mosaics of the picture of what was happening, like when he was arrested. And you can look at that and think about that. And you go on to the next one and you think about what happened at the next station. And it's a way to contemplate the cross. And so I would love to go back in the woods and just sit on a bench. You know, I might walk around and look at the stations, but I love to just be in that atmosphere of these crosses. And one time when I went up there, it was so special. I don't understand, but somehow I walked across some threshold and it was something heavenly happened. And I was pierced to the core and I had some sort of revelation / understanding what happened to Jesus on the cross. And I was just weeping and weeping. And I don't know if it was because that place was dedicated for that. This was a place to consider the cross. And maybe I pictured, maybe there was just some angels right there, like ready, you know, for people coming in there. You know, to, I don't know what angels do. Maybe they laid hands on me. I don't know. Maybe it was just the Holy Spirit. I don't know what happened. Something happened where heaven hit my heart and I understood something I didn't understand a second before. And I was truly just so sorrowful and weeping over the cross, over what he did. So this room is dedicated for that too. So my prayer for this cross is that it would have that kind of a heavenly effect. Not that it is anything. God does it. You know what I mean? And I think it is special to just have a cross anywhere, right? In churches, on our jewelry, whatever, you know, anything to help us remember. But I'm praying that this cross and this room dedicated for the Lord in prayer worship would have something anointed from heaven on it that would help people to really get around what he did for them. So I wonder if I could have Dan come up and speak a little bit. Dan, he doesn't want to be recognized for this, but he made the cross.
Yay!
And I just want him to just even say a few words, because Jim was asking him earlier today, what was it like to just make this cross? And I just wanted him to speak a few words on that.
Dan made the element of death. Jim asked, was there any sort of spiritual connect while I was making the cross, any sort of sense of the Lord? And not really, except when I thought about it, I realized that most of the thinking about this was in terms of managing the weight of the cross, because it's a 4x4 with a 4x4 cross, I mean 4x4 crossbar, up in the air on a small platform, because we're a small room, so we wanted to have, you know, for those who were in the prayer room, pacing is a big deal, so you want to have a lot of room to pace. So you have to have a small base, big mass, up in the air, a lot of weight. How do you manage that weight? And as you'll see, we've got holes drilled in the base around where Jesus' feet would have been nailed, and Amy said, you know, we had talked about having places where people could put prayer requests in the cross, holes in the cross. We stole that idea from a cross that we saw at Oral Roberts University, but those holes were throughout the entire length of the cross. Amy wanted these holes near the base, so now I've got a mass with a weakened portion at the base of the cross. So now I've got to manage, how do you manage that weight? So we've got metal supports on either side that are hidden behind the panel. So it's just, and how do you manage that much weight? Well, the base is weighted itself, so we put extra weight inside the base. So it struck me about how many considerations, you know, I had to come up with because of the weight of the cross, and most of what you've been talking about tonight is the weight of the cross. And even Peter in 1 Peter 2 somewhere, it says, you know, the cross is the power of God. It's the weight, it's the effect, it's the energy of God. And so in some small way, maybe that was what the message was for me, was, you know, you've got to manage this thing. It's not a neutral symbol. It's a symbol that is powerful. It has weight. You have to bear it. Jesus had to bear it. Couldn't bear it. Had to bring in Simon the Cyrene to help him, and because of the weight. So, did you want me to walk through? What we're going to do in terms of dedication, I think, is a simple thing. We're going to lay some plastic out on the floor and lay the cross down. We have nails that will nail into the cross, and that's an opportunity to actually re-own and rededicate yourself as you're nailing these nails into the cross, realizing that contrary to what many people think, it wasn't the Jews that killed Jesus. Jesus died for all of our sins. And so, in a very real way, when I'm hammering the nail in for me, it's my sin, recognizing that when he hung there, he was hanging for my sins, what I did in the past, what I've done in the future, what he knows I'm going to do, and he loves me anyway. And it's just owning that act as you're nailing. We're going to also have a time where I will put blood on the cross. It's actually paint, but to sort of symbolize the blood, the fact that it was a messy act, and so I just encourage you to kind of enter in with the Lord. In fact, I'll pray here and just ask the Lord to be with us, to kind of enter into a space where you remember again what your life was like before, where you remember again what Jesus has done for you, where you remember again the fact that you can't run far enough away from him to where he'll draw you back, where that forgiveness reaches that far and it's that fresh. And so, Lord, would you just make yourself present? We've been asking all week, we've been asking for 14 years, God, for your presence, for the face. Lord, you say to us, seek your face, and we say to you, your face, O God, we will seek. Your presence, the face of your presence, we seek even right now. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for the power of the cross. Foolish to those who are outside of the knowledge of you, whom we pray, Lord, will be exposed, would receive a revelation of who you are. Foolishness to them that are outside of you, Lord, but for us it is your wisdom. For us it is the wisdom of the kingdom. And so, Lord, would you just be with us in this this dedication, and through and through help us to just remember and to realize that the wisdom of the cross, our own deaths to our own selves in a thousand different ways, is your power.
We're going to set out some, again, as maybe some plastic to put down, and then we're actually going to just take turns hammering these nails in. And feel free to, if you want to, you can say a prayer while you're hammering. You can repent of some sin if you want, either quietly or out loud. And I'm just going to just pray while they're getting set up over there. But Lord, I just, even this scripture, Lord, that you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would put a heavenly anointing, Lord, on this cross and in this room. Lord, I'm reminded of Jacob when he laid down to sleep with a stone for a pillow, and he saw in his dream the ladder going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending. And when he woke up, he said, surely God is in this place. And he built a memorial. Lord, this is what I ask for this room, God, that there would be a portal up to heaven. that there would be an angelic ascending and descending, a ladder. Lord, there would be an open heaven from this room that when people walk in, they would say, surely God is in this place. When they look at the cross, they would be pierced to the core of their being, Lord, even as you were pierced. Lord, they would feel deeply in their own heart that you did this for them. You made this sacrifice for them personally. Lord, I want to ask you for that. Let this be a holy demarcation. Let this be a holy consecrated space, Lord, this whole room. And I ask you, God, let it be an open heaven like what Jacob experienced, Lord. Angels ascending and descending, that people would say, surely God is in this place. Okay, we're going to go ahead and just begin. I'll start. I'll give the first blow.
Oh,
and then
of course.
If you would like to come up after me, feel free to come up. I encourage everyone to pound. Jesus, I'm just, I'm so sorry, Lord, that you died such a torturous death for. That was very, very bloody and very painful. Lord, even as you were on the cross, Lord, you looked down and you said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And though you could have come down because you had the power, you didn't. You chose to stay there for me. You chose to stay there because my sins had separated you. So I personally just repent, God, of my sins, Lord, that put you on the cross.
In this room, Lord, today, starting today, Lord, have a greater power on the message of the cross, God. Greater conviction and ability to take it to the nations, Lord. The nations that you brought to California, as well as wherever you would send us. God, we ask for power and conviction on the preaching of the cross, Lord,
yes.
Like never before in this hour, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing in message about Christ and Him crucified. So Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Use us starting from today, God, in a more powerful way as your messengers.
Thank you. It's so hard to fathom the whole me taking on my sin. But I thank you. Lord, I ask forgiveness for being so dull. I know my heart is not moved enough by the message of the cross. But as you were pierced through for me, I'm asking you that you would pierce me through for you. Pierce me and pierce us with revelation knowledge of the cross. What it meant for you, what it means for us, what you went through, what you endured for the sake of love, for the sake of us being one with you forever. Thank you for going the full extent in loving us, in loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Pierce me. The reality of the cross. Real blood.
Lord, I thank you that you took this pain, Lord, this intense pain that you suffered for us, not just a horrible, horrendous physical beating, but the pain you felt of those who mocked you and beat you. For you knew that they were unaware of who you were and what you wanted. They just saw you as some villain, some common criminal. So Lord, I thank you that you were able to endure that. You were able to not only to endure and to stay there, Lord, but you were able to show compassion for these same people, wishing for them not to have a similar fate, because they were ignorant, Lord. So I thank you for remaining on the cross for 6 agonizing hours, and you could have erased it all in a second, Lord. Thank you for doing this master act for us, Lord. Thank you for saving all mankind from this, Lord.